T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. We're going to get to Jody LeMayo here in a moment. Phone line's open for you, too. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Jody LeMayo joining us on a Western Hotline. Jody is the president and CEO of Kaleida Health. We'll get a number of questions in that I bet a lot of you have. So we'll cover that here. Hey, Jody, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir, and thanks for coming on with us today.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, good. How are the folks at Kaleida Health doing? How is the staff holding up at this point?
Well, we're hanging in there, right? And I think, you know, it's what you see and what you hear. A lot of that is true, right? There's anxiety out there. There's concern. But we're doing our level best to really support them and make sure that, obviously, they know how much we care about what they're doing. But we really need to protect them, guys. I mean, that's where I've been obnoxious about this over the past couple of weeks. We need to really do our part to make sure they stay healthy, because if the healthcare system, as you've heard from others, whether it's elected officials or anyone else, if the healthcare system goes sideways, we're all in trouble. So we just really have to make sure we're doing our small part as a community, staying away, social distancing, and those types of things, because these people are heroes and they're doing phenomenal work, and we got to keep them healthy.
Jody, with regard to the process with which you get updated, you know, I think everybody is doing what they can to stay up to date. Obviously, you, as someone that's kind of right there in the thick of it or knowing so much, is it a daily thing? Is it an hourly thing? How often are you getting updates on exactly how things are going, how everyone's doing, how the supplies are lasting and things like that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, our normal, like for someone like me, I would get what we call flash reports every morning about what's happening throughout the system, and then we kind of work the day that way. What's happening now is it's hourly almost seems long to me. It's literally sometimes minute by minute, and I'm not exaggerating that. So we have multiple calls. We have a command center where we're communicating, where I'm getting my information, my team is, and that drops down throughout the entire organization. But Jeremy and Howard, it's changing so much. I mean, you see it, right? I mean, you look at some of the information that the county executive is coming out with. You know, one minute the tweet says this, and unfortunately the next minute or hour, there's another death. So, you know, guidance from the CDC, guidance from the state and the federal government, those are all changing. So it's really the strangest times we've ever lived in. But quite honestly, I feel like if we continue to do the things that we're doing as a community, we're going to get over that hump sooner rather than later.
Jody, the supplies is a big issue. How are you guys holding up in terms of, you know, masks, I think, are getting the big publicity out there, and now you're seeing businesses turn into go away from what they're doing and producing masks. But what's going on in terms of supplies and how that's holding up at this point?
Yeah, that's the big thing right now. So that's the PPE, the personal protective equipment that you hear, and whether that's be gloves or masks. Masks are really the big thing. Obviously, you're hearing a lot about ventilators due to the absolute crisis that's going on in New York City, and that's real, by the way. So people, it's very dire in New York. have lots of friends and colleagues there. But locally here, it's difficult to say, but we probably have about a couple of weeks worth of PPE right now. We have a shipment, knock on wood, that we're hoping gets here in an hour or so. We have some support coming. The county executive is going to send through. But it's tight, and really it's hard to gauge it because if our normal use was X 3 weeks ago, as this thing continues to ramp up and the volume gets heavier and heavier, it's Y and then it's Z. So it's really difficult to kind of judge exactly what we need. But the reality is we just need more, and that's really what you're talking about. And lots of people, all hands on deck, are doing all they can to get it, and our supply chain folks are doing phenomenal work trying to get our frontline staff and our entire organization as much as we can get.
How can people help? I in terms of the masks, I guess, like I remember seeing a couple of weeks ago, there was a story on the news, it was from West Seneca. School districts are now trying to get some supplies, and maybe it's masks that they're not using with no classes, and they're trying to donate them or get them to the hospitals. As I said, I feel like I've seen stories of businesses that are now producing masks and doing whatever they can. How can you increase the supply through the community? How is there anything people can do, that people are listening, individuals or businesses, to help the cause?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been lots of businesses, Howard, that have had masks, whether they're sitting around or in warehouses, that mm-hmm. they've donated to the various different hospitals, and that's been phenomenal. I know, as you said, different businesses are trying to manufacture them quickly. We'll take what we can get. I mean, that's the reality. That's where we're at right now. And I'm not speaking for every single healthcare system, but that's kind of what's going on throughout the country. Yeah, I've said this before. If you really stop and think about it, I don't know if there's ever been a time in our country where everyone is searching for the same thing. Because mm-hmm. most of these, whether it's a virus or a tsunami or a earthquake, they're geographically kind of limited to where that happens. It's in this instance, it's everyone. It's a global pandemic. So when you hear about ventilators, everybody's searching for a ventilator. And everybody means everybody, the globe. When everybody's looking for masks, it's everybody. It's really a different, it's an entirely different dynamic than we've ever dealt with.
We're with Jody LeMayo from Kaleida Health. You know, the ventilators, the beds, we cover the masks and supplies. But what about beds, ICU beds and ventilators? You mentioned New York City and what's going on down there. How do you fare at this point in terms of Kaleida Health and that area? Because I'm going to guess the numbers are going to increase, right, in terms of patients and people testing positive.
Yeah, we've seen all the numbers increase. We've seen the number of cases positive increase. We've seen, unfortunately, people passing away increase. Mm-hmm. What the state has mandated us to do is to increase our capacity from 50% to 100%. So we've been able to get up to 100%. So that's a good thing that we've been able to do it. Hopefully we never have to use that capacity, but if need be, it's there. So, yes, we've ordered beds. We have further beds on the way. We're no longer doing elective surgeries. We're not doing scheduled surgeries. So we have some capacity from that. The ED volumes of people coming into the emergency room has really lightened up, which is a good thing right now. So we have capacity. If it gets really out of hand, I mean, yeah, it would be a problem for us. It would be a problem for all of us. So hopefully some of the steps that we've taken over the past 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, have really mitigated this. But you know, who knows? I mean, I don't know. I mean, every day we were on a call last night till 10 p.m. just looking at the numbers. And, yeah, the numbers were worse from, say, 10 p.m. yesterday to noon yesterday. So I'll be getting on a call as soon as I'm off with you, getting the latest numbers.
Before we let you go, I did want to ask you about test kits. Is there still a shortage with that? How is all that working in terms of the number of test kits that are available just here in Western New York?
Yeah, it's very, very limited. So what we're doing, we're able to test, and what we've done is we've prioritized our testing because, back to what I started with, it's really important that we keep the healthcare workforce safe and healthy and protected. So if we do that, the most we could test is our inpatients who are critically and very, very sick, and our employees. So, you know, you hear about there's a 5-minute test coming. There's this test coming. Somebody could do it in an hour. We got to be really careful about how we talk about those things and set expectations because, quite honestly, right now, testing is very limited. You've heard the county executive. You've heard others. That's the truth. So let's see what happens over the next few days. If we can increase capacity to test, if we have the ability to get more tests. But remember this, I think our community needs to understand this. There's an absolute need in Western New York. What's happening in New York City is really problematic for all of us. So resources, and rightfully so, some of those resources would go to those hotspots.
Mm-hmm.
We're not designated a hotspot, thankfully, right now. So that's where kind of like when I talked about everybody searching, we're all searching for the same things.
I probably should ask you this. This is the final thing I had. I probably should have made it a little bit higher up on the list. But for someone who has all of a sudden they think they have a cold or there's a fever, maybe, you know, whatever. We're getting to the symptoms here, Jody. What do people do if they think they have symptoms? They're not sure. How do they go about responding to that if they think, something might be happening here?
Well, the first thing is call your provider. So first of all, you know, whether it's self-quarantine, isolate yourself, those types of things, that's really important to do. But you have to call your provider. So call your physician, call any of the numbers that are on, you know, those websites, whether it's the county or so on. But one thing you can't do, Howard, is come to the hospital because what we don't want to do is spread some more. Because for the most part, and you've heard this, if you have symptoms and if you unfortunately have this, it is just really what you would get with the flu, right? So 80-85% of any of us who get it, you would just stay home and so on and self kind of take care of yourself. Others, if it's really, really bad, then those would be people who a provider or a physician would say to get to a hospital or get to another level of care. So what we can't have is a whole bunch of people running around into the emergency departments and so on, because then that really puts a ton of pressure on the healthcare system, and then obviously increases the spread.
Okay. Hey, have you brought back like retired nurses and doctors to help out? Are you at that stage?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, we're working the phones and everything, and it kind of, you know, someday I think one of the really positive things that'll come out of this is just how this community, and maybe really as a nation, we do come together at a time of crisis. So you cannot believe the amount of people who are willing to help us, the people who are willing to come back, and people who are really willing to walk right into the fire and kind of, you know, make sure we're all safe and healthy. So there is some beauty to that.
Jody, thanks. Thanks for all the information. And again, thanks for everything the healthcare workers are doing. And I'm sure, as you said off the top, every step is being taken to keep them safe. So appreciate that and appreciate you giving us all the information today.
Guys, thanks so much. Talk soon.
That is Jody LeMayo. He is the president and CEO of Kaleida Health, joining us here on the West Her Hotline. As of this morning, just checking the numbers earlier with WBEN, 7 people have died from the virus here in Western New York. Saw a story over the weekend about a 44-year-old woman, maybe town of Tonawanda. No underlying health issues. Everything seemed to be fine. Taking all the precautions, washing hands, sanitizer, all this stuff, everything. She got the virus and she passed away. And it's just scary stuff. Obviously, very scary stuff out there. And that's just, and as Jody mentioned too, Jeremy, downstate is just, New York City is dealing with a lot of problems compared to the rest of the state. Again, bigger population.
Sure.
So, of course, the numbers are going to, you know, vary and vary accordingly because of the large population downstate.
Right. Population density. I mean, that's
right.
How it's going to work. City, New Orleans is apparently having a really rough go of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know.
Well, keep doing what you're doing. Stay home. No, I mean, well, for the rest of us. You know,
no, that's the plan. Like we're staying home. It's funny. You know, the new normals, you try to have little fun moments and fun things in here as everyone's doing the best they can.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be that the friend that would help you move was your best friend, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Wow,
right.
You're willing to help me move. You're a good friend. One of our good friends, great friends, family at this point, gave us a little tub here of disinfecting wipes. Had an extra one, gave us one.
Nice.
Like trying to get Clorox wipes
to
be able to wipe something down, or hand sanitizer or toilet paper, or, you know, if you did go out and buy a lot and, you know, your neighbor might be a little low. I mean, you know, passing that on is obviously it's important. So, yeah. Anybody you might think could use a little bit of help somehow, any way you can provide that, if it's buying them a delivery of dinner or, you know, helping them in any way. I mean, anybody you can help, reach out and help.
Yeah, I think that's part of being a good neighbor, you know, check for people on the block. And, and you know, I've said to you, we have neighbors to either side, you know, seniors, elderly, and we check on them just to not, you know, I call them so we're, you know, keep our distance. But, hey, do you need anything? We're placing an online grocery order. What do you need? Do you need anything in terms of medicines, any supply, anything, just to let us know? So I think... But that's I'm sure that's standard for a lot of people. Always check on people in the neighborhood, especially some that maybe are a little bit older and you're not sure, you know, what they might be able to do, what they might be able to get. We did in our weekend, by the way, we did find toilet paper. We got a six pack, I think, of toilet. I was like, okay. I mean, we were not at the, oh my God, we're running out stage, but we're like, we could use a little. So a friend of Joanne's had found some toilet paper where they do their grocery shopping, because you can't find any up here. And she got us some, and that was like a black market thing. I don't know. No. Anyway, we got some toilet paper. But you're right. It is. The best thing is Easter's coming up, right? What are we, a week or two from Easter, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Do virtual Easter. No, you're not going out for Easter. I mean, you know, you do it. Do what you keep doing. Adjust. Stay at home. My mother-in-law goes to church every Sunday, and now they have, for this last couple of weeks, you know, you stream the church service. So you sit there in your family room, and you watch the church service on TV, because you shouldn't be going out, and do everything in your power just to, you know, to stay home and stay safe and keep washing the hands and don't touch your face, do all the things that they're telling you to do, because the numbers of where this is going. Was it Italy over the weekend? I think Italy passed 10,000 deaths from the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want, I mean, it just, was it, I want to make sure I have this right, because I had the copy here. Hang on 1 second. Phil, for like 5 seconds.
I wonder what he's going to get.
I had to go off my
grabbed
headphones.
It out of the garbage.
Because there was, I wanted to make sure I had this right. Okay, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Like you watch the press conferences with President Trump, Dr. Fauci is a mainstay in those press conferences. This was from the headlines this morning on BEN. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the government's top infectious disease expert, has said the U.S. could experience more than 100,000 deaths and millions of infections from the pandemic. So, I mean, where we are now, you know, I think it's over 1,000 deaths in the country. And, you know, what's going on in New York City just alone with all the cases they have and everything, I can't even imagine, I mean, how bad this is could still get in this country before we even hit an apex or begin to see any kind of solution to this. So stay home, stay safe.
Do you want something to take your mind off it quickly?
Sure.
Trivia? I've got instant trivia for you.
Oh, I had one too. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you got yours?
Ooh,
okay.
I wonder if we put together the same one.
There's no way we put together the same one.
No?
No way. I saw a note over the weekend. Pro Football Talk had a little blog note about Eli Manning, and if Eli didn't retire, he would have set the record for most losses by a quarterback in NFL history.
Oh, okay.
So I have the top 10. I will save that for tomorrow or later or wherever.
Okay. Well, I've got one that I was just thinking about, because today is March 30th, and what today would have been, we would have had the Final Four, right? This past weekend, regional finals, down to four teams, and we would have been talking about the Final Four, Syracuse, and whoever else, of course, would have made it.
I'm sorry, what? I didn't, my headphones might
have. Didn't you see them in the ACC tournament? They were cruising.
So they would have won the ACC.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They're got hitting their stride. The automatic bid,
anyway,
and then got it.
Okay. Syracuse has 6 appearances in the Final Four, and there are 10 schools that have more than 6. So give me the 10 schools, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 schools that have appeared in a Final Four more than 6 times.
I don't know if Indian. Okay. Duke.
Actually, we do not recognize them on this show. That's right. Yeah, Duke, 16 Final Fours.
I don't want to. Hey, I was watching a little bit. My mother-in-law was watching Duke-Butler yesterday, the championship game.
Oh, that's the year that Syracuse would have won a national championship if Renzi Anuaku didn't get hurt. Yeah, that one. Okay, go ahead. What else?
She's a huge Duke fan, so I couldn't make her change the channel. I was just hoping that somehow this time maybe Butler hit a couple shots at the end of the game. But yeah,
oh man, they almost hit a half court shot to win it.
Right.
I'll go with Kentucky.
17 appearances for Kentucky.
North Carolina.
20 to lead the way.
Kansas.
15 appearances for Kansas in the Final Four.
UCLA.
17 appearances. We're looking for the schools that have more than six. You have 5 left.
I'm going to guess this because if I didn't guess it and it was on the list, my son would hate me. Michigan State.
10 times in the Final Four. That is correct.
How about Michigan?
8 times.
Very good, Brayton. I didn't think they were going to make the cut. Okay.
Yes.
Villanova.
Villanova is not correct.
Figured I'd throw it out there.
I was going to say, at least 6.
Villanova has 5 appearances.
Ah, okay.
How about Indiana?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Villanova has 6. They have 1 vacated. This list I have actually does have asterisks, boys, so that's exciting.
When did Villanova have to vacate a Final Four? Yeah, I'm curious about that. All right,
Wikipedia says they vacated one.
Okay.
Who'd you say?
Indiana.
8 appearances in the Final Four. That is also correct. You have 2 left.
Okay. I got guesses.
How about this team? Gonzaga.
No. Incorrect.
UConn?
Gonzaga has made 1 Final Four.
UConn?
UConn is not correct.
They didn't make enough. Okay.
5 Final Fours for UConn.
Okay.
And you probably didn't like any of those 5.
No.
Arizona?
Arizona, 4 times.
Crud.
How far are we going back here? That's the question.
The history of the Final Four.
Right. I'm just thinking, just teams, how far, are we looking at teams that are
these teams
older
are,
teams that have
no,
made
these
their...
teams are modernly good. Relative. These are 2 big schools you're missing.
Okay.
One of them I hate.
Georgetown.
Ohio State.
Ohio State is correct 11 times.
Georgetown?
And then the other one, no, not Georgetown. The other one has a double asterisk because they have apparently vacated 2 times. They have 8, but with the vacated, they have 10.
Two
vacations.
Two vacations.
It's almost as many as you.
I knew you were going to say
that. You get a lot
of
vacations.
Yes, I do. I'm due. I think I'm overdue for another vacation. Two vacations. Wow. I'm trying to think who else. Conferences. Big 12. Pac-12.
West Virginia.
No.
The elite program that it is.
They had they paid for things for some of their players. And then it was Rick Pitino.
Louisville.
Louisville.
Yeah, right.
8
sure.
appearances.
Sure, that's
10 if you count their vacated appearances. So those are your leaders in Final Four appearances.
Is that the whole list, or are we missing any?
That's the whole list.
Okay,
that's all 10
that
have more than 6.
Wow.
Syracuse has 6, and tied with Syracuse at 6, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, and Arkansas.
Cincinnati was, because they were there in the 60s, the 50s or 60s. I think they were really good.
Would you like to take one more trivia question, a crack at most tournament appearances without ever reaching a Final Four? The number is 29. But any guess near the top, and I'll give you points for it.
Wow.
Most appearances without ever reaching the Final Four.
Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't even – where the heck? I don't even know where to go.
Wichita State is not right. Wichita State made 2 Final Fours.
It's not going to be like one of these small conference teams that just won their league all the time and just, played 1 game and got eliminated. Nah, it's got 29. That's someone getting it at large. Alabama
has 20.
Nah.
That is a good guess. The correct answer is BYU.
Oh, I never would have got that. Okay.
29 times.
That's a lot.
Right. How about Xavier with 28?
Really? I thought Xavier made, they made a run.
Nope.
Maybe been in Elite Eight 1 year? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's so it.
Because it's got to be right. It would have to be a program that still got some at-large bids, and those were okay. Thanks. That was good trivia. Thanks. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Half down in the third period. Look at Bjorn come a long way. Alexander Ovechkin ran him, and now he's going to have to answer. Alexander Ovechkin getting mugged.
Now we have push and shove and fighting. Bjorn not happy with that. But when he's out of the crease playing the puck, Alexander Ovechkin right after him and catching a piece of him.
Well, he more than caught a piece of him, Locker. He lined up and drilled him.
That is Joe Beninati and Craig Lachlan from the Caps Television Network. Why are we playing that? We'll tell you about that in a second. First, your headlines. Governor Cuomo has extended the New York on pause for 2 more weeks. So all non-essential workers must continue working from home. President has extended the social distancing guidelines through the month of April. Marcus Smart from the Celtics, he had tested positive for coronavirus, and he now says he has been medically cleared. A second player from the Colorado Avalanche has tested positive. Football agreements. Ronald Darby is now with Washington. DeMarcus Robinson stays in Kansas City. Derek Wolfe goes to Baltimore. NFL owners are apparently going to vote next week on expanding the playoffs. And reportedly, the Rams are exploring a trade of wide receiver Brandon Cooks. Major League Baseball still holding out hope for a 140-game regular season, and they're considering expanding their playoffs this season from 10 to 14. Those are your headlines. That's from a Sabres-Caps game in 2005. So this week, if you've been watching the Sabres replays, last week they had a game on every night. They're continuing that this week. This week's games are all regular season games from the 05-06 season.
Okay.
The first one tonight is...
I haven't seen this list. Tell me there's a Dallas game on there.
There is not a Dallas game on here.
Okay. All right.
What Dallas game were you thinking
of? They played... Let me pull it up. They played Dallas in a really not important game, but you go... Give me this list. I'm going to find this game that I'm thinking about, because I think Dallas came in and had won 9 in a row, and the Sabres had won a bunch in a row.
Okay.
And it was a very cool game because... We were just starting to get used to them being good, and Danny Briere scored one of my favorite Sabres goals that I've ever seen.
Huh.
So I'll find it, but you got to give me this list first.
Well, the game tonight is from November 17th, 2005. I've got the list, and I've got a bullet point attached. I don't know if this is from the Sabres release or from the Buffalo News, but one of the two. November 17th, 2005, the Sabres defeat Alexander Ovechkin, who I was a rookie at that point, by the way. And Washington 8-5. They would remain above 500 for the rest of the season. Look for a Taylor Pyatt hat trick in this game. And 3 points from Tim Connolly. November 17th, 2005. A win over Washington is tonight. Tomorrow night, the Sabres win their 7th game in a row. A 2-1 shootout victory in Philadelphia. Ryan Miller makes 33 saves. December 19th.
I think that's Miller's first game back from injury.
Hey, I'm trusting you on this one. I honestly had to pull up game recaps
this
stuff.
Because he breaks his thumb, right? Okay. And Marty and Mika go in. Boy, we need Marty on for this segment. So Miller breaks his thumb the morning of an Ottawa game.
I texted him. It's funny.
Marty and Mika go into that Ottawa game. The Sabres get steamrolled 10-4. And then after that, they go on this run and do well. And they had won a bunch of games in a row, and Miller is ready to go.
Okay.
Comes in, and they win in Philly. He makes a bunch of saves, and they win in a shootout.
I texted Marty because Brayton told me, I said, Brayton, find a clip, if you can, from the Sabres-Caps game from 05. And he found that clip, and he said something about, you know, Ovechkin taking a run at Marty. I'm like, I do not remember Ovechkin taking a run at Marty. And I texted him just to see if he could tell me the story on it. But unfortunately, I have not heard back from Marty. If I hear, I'll pass it on.
I did find that Dallas game for you, Jeremy.
I've got it, too.
That took place December 14th, 2005.
Uh-huh. They won 4-3. Here's the thing I want you to look. I could look this up, too, but I'm actually chasing down the other thing.
Well, I'll look
had
up Dallas
won 8 in a row or something like that. Because Dallas coming into that game has a great record, and the Sabres have a great record, too. It's December 14th, you said, right?
Yep. Okay.
Dallas is 19-8-1, and the Sabres are 20-10-1. December 14th, 2005.
Okay, Dallas would have had, here's the game, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Was it a Monday?
Six,
I want to say it was like
seven,
a Monday.
8, 9, 10. They won 10 out of 11 coming in.
It was a Wednesday. Okay, Dallas had won 10 out of 11. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, it was a Wednesday night game.
They had won 5, lost to Phoenix, and then won 1, 2, 3, 4. Where are they? I lost my spot. Hold on a second, Jeremy.
Oh, wow. I'm having fun with this now. So the Sabre, or you want to get your thing first before I get this in?
Yeah, so they had lost. Okay, yeah. Wow, they were really good. Yeah. So they had won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, lost to Phoenix, 1, 2, 3, 4, won another 5 straight, yeah, and then lost to the Sabres.
Like 9 out of 10. So it was the Sabres are red hot, and here comes another team that's red hot.
Yeah.
They went up. The Sabres go up in this game 3-0. Dallas gets it to 3-2. By the way, Steve Ott scored for Dallas that night.
Wow.
Assist from Stu Barnes and Stefan Robida. But just funny to see Steve Ott. But my favorite goal, this is one of my favorite goals ever for the Sabres, because 05-06 was the start of, holy cow, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these moments. There's very famous games. Briere's goal there with 1:42 into the third period, his 13th. I'm reading the box score.
Yep.
If I could ever find this goal again, the way that I remember it happening, the Sabres are going right to left, and the shot. Who's the goalie that played that night? I got to find Marty Turco. Okay, maybe Marty Turco's.
Yeah,
in that
Turco
game.
Okay.
So the shot goes on Turco, and it gets through him, and it sits behind him in the crease. And he's kind of frozen up thinking he's got the puck. And Briere is along the side, along the goal line. And he can see the puck behind Turco. And everybody kind of turns and sees the puck. And in that moment, the crowd erupts seeing like, oh, my God, the puck. You know, it's right there. And Danny dives into the crease behind Turco and slams it in. And, like, I can just remember that moment so well of – not only is this a meaningful game in December where we cared a lot because they were good and the Stars were supposed to be good and they're going to win it and this goal to start the third period, it's like one of my favorite goals ever. And look at that. It's a random third period goal in December of 2005.
Right.
And that is in no way pathetic that that's my favorite Sabres goal.
No, there's definitely – you're normal. Don't worry. You're fine.
I know. I'm sorry. All right, so other games.
So that's that was the two. Okay, Wednesday will be the Around the World game.
Vanek on the slap, on the overtime. The shootout winning goal against
Hasek.
The Senators, which is that season but before the brawl.
February 4th, 2006.
Hasek is in net.
Yeah, it was great. I was at the game that night. I remember, and I was in the end zone I was in the end where Vanek was doing the shootout. Then it was so it was coming to mind. I just remember everybody was on their feet, the whole shootout, the place was going nuts. And then when he made that move, we were just uttering words that I can't tell you right now. But it happened to be holy something. So that's going to be Wednesday night. Let's see. Thursday. Okay. Thursday. Okay, go ahead.
So the brawl game is season.
The brawl game
is 06-07.
Right? Okay.
Yes. In the 05-06 season, Hasek is in net for them, and Ottawa had beaten them earlier in the year, as I mentioned, like 10-4 or whatever that would have been. 10-4, November 2nd. Sorry, I've got the whole schedule here. So Ottawa was the big bad wolf that Buffalo couldn't beat, and that around the world game on that February 4th date was the 2-1 win. And I want to say Miller goes 3-for-3 in the shootout against the three big guns.
I'll trust you.
I don't know. I mean, I'm probably mixing things together here, but I'm actually just enjoying those two seasons and the things that kind of pop into your head. Okay,
it's a
what
good
else?
Exercise for your brain, by the way. So let's see. Thursday's game says, it's always good to beat Toronto. March 16th, 2006, the Sabres extend their season-best win streak to 8 games with a 3-1 victory over the Leafs. Co-captain Chris Drury recorded 2 goals and an assist.
They moved to 44-16-5.
Wow.
44-16-5.
They were probably going to make the playoffs, I bet, at that point.
Yeah, right.
They probably clinched a spot at that point. Yow.
Jeez.
That is, so that's Thursday night, and then the final game is Heroics from Briere, April 5th, 2006. 5-4 win over Ottawa. Danny scores in the final minute of regulation and the final minute of overtime.
On the power play in overtime. Yeah. Briere scores his 23rd and 24th. Max scores his 21st in that game. Derek Roy his 18th. Just looking at all these names.
Wow. Fond memories.
It's fun to look at the Ottawa names, too, because you remember them.
Yeah.
You remember hating, you know.
I thought of you when I was watching game one of the 06 playoffs with them, because Smolinski, I think, scored twice in that game.
Yep.
And I thought of you, because you always used to hate that little smug face he gave everybody.
Chris Neal, Brian McGrattan.
Yep. Alfredson, of course.
Mike Fisher's on that team. Peter Schaefer, that's who knocked out Connelly.
Heatley was
right?
on that team. Heatley played, right? I think Heatley was on
he
that
was.
Team, right?
Yes, he was.
Who was it that it was it Schaefer who knocked
Peter
out?
Schaefer.
Yes, okay, knocked out Connelly, right. And Ray Emery was the goalie. The late Ray Emery was the goalie in that series. Anyway, those are the games this week. They're going to be airing at 8 o'clock on MSG, so you can watch those.
If you've never seen the 05-06 team play, I mean, seriously, just honestly, 5 nights of the 05-06 team playing with Briere and Drury, and just great.
It's fun. It's very energetic. And again, the way the game was being played at that point, coming out of the lockout, all the skating, the scoring, and all the skill being allowed to shine, it was
ooh,
fun.
I got a game that I'd like to see that's not 05-06. It would be one of their other years. They've got to pick. And if Marty's listening or Brian Duff is listening, the Vanek game against Boston. Remember the game in Boston?
Yeah.
I think he scores 4 goals.
Yeah.
But he makes Tuukka Rask look ridiculous in the process. He was just out of his mind that night. The Vanek 4-goal game in Boston. The Vanek game. Oh, when was that? It's got to be like 2009 or whatever.
Up. Thomas Vanek, hat trick. I've got a hat trick in 13.
I thought he had 4 goals.
I thought
maybe
so, too.
Maybe he had a hat trick.
No, here it is. Thomas Vanek, 2010. April 11th, 2010. Vanek scores 4 goals. No, that's Ottawa. Crap.
January 31st, 2013.
Yeah, 3 goals, 2 assists.
Okay,
they won 7-4.
He was unbelievable.
Jeremy, wasn't there
in that game?
Was there a New Year? Wasn't it a New Year's Day game against Boston, like 7-6 or something?
That's New Year's Day, yeah.
That's Stafford's hat trick and shootout winner.
Okay. What season was that, though?
Oh, boy. That's
10-11.
10-11. Okay.
That's when they went on a run in that game, in that season, right?
Yes, especially later in the year, I think.
Because the thing I remember about that game is that they were not good at that point, and I made a concerted effort to go to – I'm just going to go to this game on New Year's Day, and I'm going to have fun today because whatever – this was pre-tank, so when they were bad and we would have been arguing about how they can ever be good, and then they go on that run, and that game was a fun win along the way. The 2010-11 Sabres, they had 2 seasons where they made runs. One of them they fell short, and one they got in, right, with the Gerby year where they bury the puck the first year of the Pegulas. So, yeah, 2010-11 was not a good start.
Sabres won 16 of their last 24 games in that 2010-11 run.
Yeah.
To get to the playoffs.
Man.
Yeah, when they beat Boston, they were 16-22. They were 16-18-4. They were under 500.
Yeah.
And went on a furious run to win it. 7-6 they beat Boston that day.
803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550 WGR.
I wasn't expecting. expecting to play. If I was going to play, it would have been somewhere that I would have liked to play, like somewhere close or somewhere that made sense family-wise. But since that never happened, I can't see myself playing at any point next year after not playing for over a year and almost a half. So it's been, I haven't like said anything officially, but yeah, I definitely can't see myself playing. It's been fun to spend time with the family and be involved with them a little bit more and basically kind of turn the page on having to travel and play games. I feel good. My body still feels good. I'm healthy. So I was pretty fortunate to play that long as well.
That is Jason Pominville. He was on with us on Friday doing a little reminiscing because we were talking about the playoff game of the Rangers that was going to air that night. And that was him talking about his future. And it sounds like essentially he's retired without actually officially saying he's retired. We had a good time reminiscing with him. It was a lot of fun. If you missed it, check it out. On-demand audio from last Friday. On-demand audio at WGR550.com. So, Jeremy, the other day we were talking about all the replays, you know, that people are showing these days. Spent part of the weekend watching the 1986 NLCS, Mets-Astros. A lot of quality time there. You said you can watch games where your teams would have lost.
Yes.
All right. 8 o'clock tonight. I'm setting you up for the Big Ten Network, 8 o'clock tonight, because Michigan is playing Syracuse in the 2013 Final Four.
Oh, from the Georgia Dome. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Where we played a really good game of blocky chargy in that one.
Oh, was that?
No. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Syracuse. No. Was that McNamara's team? Was he there that year? No.
No.
Okay.
No. That would have been Howard Tripp, not Howard Trish, Brandon Trish.
Okay, there was a big blocky chargy at the end of the game, wasn't there?
Yes, yes. Who? Michael Carter-Williams scored 1 point?
Oh, I'm trying to think who it would have been.
So far, these games in How Much Do I Remember are somewhat fun and somewhat, I'm so sorry I'm getting these things wrong. Pretty sure Michael Carter-Williams had 1 point, and Brandon Trish got called for a charge at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And a wonderful game of blocky chargy.
Brandon Trish, okay.
Brandon Trish.
I couldn't remember who it was, but I know there was a huge call.
Yep.
A block charge
Great.
Call at the end.
Love to see it, right? Just love to see it. Yeah, that's fine. It was only 7 years ago.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry.
They lost that game and Michigan went on to play Louisville, and Louisville won the championship, and Louisville vacated that title.
Oh, that's one of the Patino titles. Yeah, right? That would have been when Patino was there. Yeah, it had to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who else would have been coaching him then. Sorry, man.
So it goes.
So that's at 8 o'clock
Yeah, but
tonight.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily watch that game. There are games your teams lose that you can rewatch because they're good games. I mean, that game was not particularly good. What's
yeah,
the final score?
61-56, I think, was the final score.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the first one to admit that Syracuse basketball games are not often works of art, you know. So,
like, if Syracuse lost all the massive overtime game to UConn, you might still watch that back. So, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a 6-overtime thriller. Final
Syracuse
scores
did win
hundreds.
That, right? Syracuse,
they did.
Okay.
They did,
but
yes.
That might be that game. Like, it's such a classic, even if you know they're going to lose at the end, you might still watch it because it's an amazing, just an
I
amazing
like this,
game.
Though. The challenging yourself, like, which games you could watch your team lose a game, this game, that game, that game, but there's where you draw the line.
Yeah, it's tough for
like,
me.
You know, I couldn't, like, Music City Miracle
Can't
for some
it.
People.
Nope.
But, I mean,
Super
could you watch the rest of the game?
I'm probably not because I know what's coming. It'd be tough.
Like, if you rewatched that game, would you think, well, it never should have come down to that kick because there was this play and
yeah,
this play and this
true.
Penalty.
You know what? I might do it just for that, actually, just to see, well, if this went differently over the course of the game, it was kind of a strange game, you know, Rob Johnson playing and all that stuff. I might watch it and just, I know what's coming at the end, maybe. It's just hard. I mean, I've watched some of the no-goal game. I just don't watch the ending. So I guess I can do
some
of it.
Yeah, the no-goal game, is that a boring game?
It is. It took forever. Yeah, but I've watched it. I've watched it. So when somebody hits a post and everything, it makes me nuts. All right,
yeah.
we'll get a quick break in. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.